Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen.
With me today is financial advisor and money coach, Jody Lynn Craven.
This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
And we are especially happy because we have a special guest joining us today who is quite familiar to longtime listeners of the show. David Strickle, the Stream of David, is joining us once again in full Santa Claus glory. He's grown that beard and mustache out. I mean, this guy, he's looking the part. I mean, are you just getting ready for December? What's going on here?
I've got the red suit already.
Do you really? Oh, cool. I love that. Yeah. It's your color.
I look terrible. I have very pink complexion. Terrible in red. I would never wear red. What are you talking about?
No, seriously, it's great to see you again. And Jody, this is like our first chance to connect after my vacay and your vacay. I think we had like one little show in there quickly. But how you doing? It's good to talk to you again.
I'm doing good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
Yeah.
And you got an experience coming up here, because I don't know if you know much about David, but David is similar to Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham. He channels the Stream of David, and it's quite the experience. You're going to get the chance to hear that and to interact with the stream.
Yeah, so, there was one time that you were supposed to come on, David, and then something happened, and then it was just you and I, Walt, for the show. Right. But I've been waiting for this day to come back around so I could officially meet you. So I'm excited to meet you, David.
Good to meet you. Glad I'm here. Glad I didn't have to cancel for whatever reason I had to cancel last time. It's been a crazy year. It's been a very crazy year. A good crazy year, but just a lot of stuff going on so far in 2022. So lots of distractions from what I normally do.
And plus you just completed a summit too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We had our Stream Summit 6 last Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we did this one virtual, which I love in person. That's amazing. But the virtual is so cool because you have people all over the world. Right. You're coming into a Zoom meeting in a channel for 2 hours. I've done it as long as 4 hours before this one. We did 2 hours and we got a lot of really great clarity from the stream that you can resummon if you want with your questions, but we a lot of good clarity from the stream in those 2 hours.
As always happens, the stream has amazing information every single time. I mean, the messages are very similar. I mean, there's like a theme to...
universal law is universal law. That doesn't change, so...
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a theme to the way the stream presents information. This happened a lot. David was actually a co-host for a while, Jody, for about a six-month period. And during that particular time, I got to know the stream really well because we talked to him almost every single week. And in those conversations, it became really evident to me that almost any questions that I asked, they're always trying to make another point. So they steered around to that other point. And it was interesting to find out. I wanted to find out each week what point were they going to take us to. It was always a different point. But there was that one little, you know, this is the one thing we want to really emphasize to you today. That message always came out every single time. And it was a different message.
They can be long-winded. We were talking this morning in my team meeting about trying to get more TikTok content out to promote, you know, the podcast and more Instagram Reels, which is kind of the same thing. And it's limited to 3 minutes, and it's hard to get anything from the stream in 3 minutes.
This is true.
It's usually a 10-minute answer to a one-minute question.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And that's if you're lucky.
True. Very true.
But on the other hand, I say that kind of sarcastically. Actually, we're lucky when we get those answers because those 10 minutes are packed, absolutely packed with information. You actually have to go back and re-listen just to get everything because you don't get it all the first time. In fact, I remember very clearly what my experience was the first few times you were on the show, David, because after a show was done, I can only imagine what it's like from your perspective. I've asked you about it and you've talked about it, but from my perspective, it was, I need to go shut down for a bit. My brain is working so hard trying to keep up with all the information that they give. It's crazy.
Afterward, it's exhilarating and draining at the same time. Usually right afterward, I'm a little confused. I am just buzzing with energy and then I go crash. And when I did the live event in LA in January, I planned all this stuff after the 4 hour, was it 4 or 5 hours of channeling? And it was not a good decision to do that. Yeah. We all went out to dinner and it was like, I had to really, really push myself to be able to do that. I needed to just go crash for like 24 hours after that.
Right. Yeah.
I know.
So, well, I, Unless you have something that specific that you want to bring at this point, I want to have a conversation with the stream. So why don't we do your connection and Jody can get the full experience and listeners can get the full experience. Yeah, this is fun. This is good stuff.
All right, let's bring them in.
All righty.
We are here.
Welcome, stream. I love saying those words every time you come on to the podcast to join us, but I'm especially loving it today. Thank you very much for taking the time, although time is relatively meaningless to you because it's a human construct, but taking the time anyway to spend this with us and share the universal wisdom that you have to share with us. I appreciate it every single time. And that's actually the point I want to start with. Past conversations that I've had with you, that others on the show have had with you, have revolved around the concept of appreciation. And you've actually helped me to come to understand a point that you made about, I think it was around 9 months ago, that appreciation is actually the highest vibration, that's a higher vibration than love, which was a surprise to many of us earthlings. But it is, and I'm really appreciating the power of appreciation more and more as time goes on. But I wonder if you could elaborate on that a bit, both for Jody Lynn, who's experiencing you for the first time, and for our listeners. That this to me is like the biggest message that I've gotten from you so far, the value of appreciation.
We will begin by sharing that we utilize David's vocabulary and the English language to communicate with all of you and find the very best words within that to convey what we are communicating back via your asking. And we very much want you to understand that the concept of love, very often you see it woven into your stories. You see it be one of the most important aspects of humanity is seeking to be loved. And the common vibration around love, that there is certainly nothing wrong or low vibration about love. Mm-hmm. Love is appreciation, but love tends to also have preference woven into it. And preference is a product of ego. That is your humanness. And just like everything else, there's nothing wrong with your ego. There's nothing wrong with you being a human being. You came here to be a human being. You came here for the imperfection of it. Because the imperfection of it is what creates your expansion of consciousness, as you well know. But when you speak to love, very often it's about preference. It's appreciation, but it's appreciation with preference. And when you take the concept of judgment out of it completely, the word appreciation is more befitting where we are guiding you to when thinking about what the very highest vibration possible is. We are beings of love, but more than that, we are beings of appreciation of all that is. And you are as well in your completed state, in your soul consciousness state. You are that because you are us. We are one consciousness. But in your human state, where your ego is present and you're in this polarized physical environment that you are perceiving, there are preferences that you establish that hold you away very often from full-blown appreciation. So when you come to understand that you can love something and not necessarily appreciate it, and you can appreciate something and not necessarily love it, those two ideas become two different things. And where we are guiding you to is to have your preferences to love what you feel guided to love, but ultimately to find appreciation for all that is. Your matrix of thought across humanity, the collective consciousness that you call humanity, teaches you to not appreciate. But in your lack of appreciation, you are very often fueling more of that which you do not prefer. So when you think of somebody that you are judging as wrong or evil or committing horrific acts, and you're judging them as this should not be, you're actually lowering your vibration and separating yourselves from our energy in that judgment. When we say appreciate all that is, where we are guiding you to in that is deep understanding of all that is, understanding that you are all strands of eternal consciousness here having a temporary physical experience that by design has a beginning, a middle, and an end to it. And there's no right or wrong way to operate that experience or have that experience. There's no right or wrong way or time to exit that experience. That is all a human creation, your matrix that you're supposed to live a certain way and believe a certain way and behave a certain way and live a certain number of years. That is a belief system. And you all operate in belief systems by default. It was said recently that humanity needs a belief system to operate. You don't even need it. You are going to default to it no matter what. And where we are guiding you in this interaction is to think about the belief systems that humanity holds. You have religion. You have government, politics. You have consumerism. You have the belief that having the perfect body is somehow going to make you superior or bring you joy. You have all of these different belief systems. Conspiracy theories are yet another belief system. So no matter what you do to step out of the matrix, there's always some other aspect of it waiting to draw you right back into it. And where we are guiding you to in our teachings is to understand that you can appreciate the matrix, be an observer of it, and not be drawn into it. And you keep yourselves out of that matrix by rooting your belief system purely in eternal law. Understanding that you're not going to stay there all the time. You are not static beings. You're vibrational beings on this vibrational journey. But the more you work to step out of the matrix in appreciation of it, through appreciation of all that is, understand that that raises your vibration. When you see the next headline about a mass shooting or something that sends you racing down your spiral in judgment, you can detune that so that it no longer takes you on that vibrational plummet that it once did. But the matrix is going to tell you that that's callous and uncaring and unloving, and how dare you think that way. But those of you that are following these teachings and begin practicing this, come to understand what it does for you vibrationally. You are not creating more school shootings and your understanding of them. You are actually taking the power away from them with your contribution to it, and you're not judging it. You're not judging things of that nature. And we use a very extreme example, but it's a relevant example in your time of when we say appreciate all that is, someone new to these teachings will inevitably throw out things like this and say, how in the world can I appreciate that? Appreciation is not celebration. Appreciation is not love. Appreciation is such a deep understanding of that you no longer judge it. You understand it. And when you understand something, you claim your power. Think about something that's going on in your lives that you judge harshly and you create suffering for yourselves in the judgment of it. The moment you stop judging it, that's the moment that the suffering ends. And when the suffering ends, your vibration goes up. When your vibration goes up, suddenly you have actual tools to solve. Very often, the solving occurs naturally because you've taken your focus away from it. You stop fueling the unwanted thing. It simply dissipates for you. It's a magical practice. And notice how your matrix of humanity turns you away from that, operates in reverse of it, because it steals your power away and keeps you operating in a very controllable space. But once you learn to step out of that control through appreciation of it, you become magical beings. You step into your true power to manifest any and everything that you wish to experience.
You see what I mean, Jody? If one question leads to a 10-minute answer, and you have all that to unpack. And you're supposed to do it while you're listening to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Beautiful.
It's really amazing stuff. By the way, anyone who's tuning in, we do have some people who are tuning into the live stream. If you have questions, type them into the chat and we'll be glad to pass them along to the stream. And Jody, if you have any questions of your own you want to jump in with, by all means, do that. That's part of the fun, is asking the question and finding how it comes back to you. Oh my goodness. It's mind blowing what you get back. So dare to do it. Give it a shot.
We'll add to what we shared that if you are not completely up to speed with what we are offering, That is where you are in your journey. There's nothing wrong with that. You may challenge or question any aspect of this because you are all creating your own bubble of reality. So your belief system that you've been operating on your entire life, very often you hear things such as this, it can be quite challenging. Mm-hmm. How in the world can I get there? That is impossible. Or why would I want to go there? That seems like a dark place. But what we guide you to is if you are hearing our words, you have manifested your path here for a reason. And perhaps that is sparking some curiosity. And in your curiosity, you have challenge to this, or you have questions about it, or you have things that maybe you're perhaps afraid to ask around it. We are guiding you to set aside your fear and say and ask and interact any way that you want. You are not interacting with beings that can possibly be offended by you.
Which is a concept all by itself, by the way, because we're not used to that. That's a big, big deal. That alone takes some time to get the head wrapped around. We're dealing with beings.
We are not a deity that is seeking to be worshipped and obeyed. We are not a deity that is seeking to be believed without testing this in your own lives. Yeah. We will always offer thoughts and guide you back inward to your own version of this and offer some ideas that you can utilize and see for yourselves whether they work for you or not. And if they do not, there is no sin in that. There is nothing wrong with that. There is no punishment for that. You are going to have your human journey, whether you are ever exposed to our teachings via David or not. And that journey will be expansive regardless of how the matrix is judging it, regardless of how in alignment or not it is within what we are offering. But those of you that find yourselves to our teachings generally are finding yourselves there always, because there is a curiosity. Even if you're not completely up to speed with it, there is a journey in getting up to speed with any teachings that are going to be highly transformative for your experience, always.
And we do have a question coming in from the live stream. So here's something for you. This is from a listener named David Rude, and he's saying, can you please discuss the difference between religion and spirituality?
There are various vibrations of both, and there is certainly overlap in both. The general idea is that religion is going to have rules and worship and things of that nature. It is more organized. There is a rule book to it, where spirituality, the original intent behind the concept of spirituality was to strip all of the rules away and the judgment away and simply have the connection to our energy, essentially. That is a personal journey. From there, however, spirituality has spun out in multiple directions. There has been a lot of ego peppered into it, and there's been commerce peppered into it as well. And when that starts happening, the message shifts a bit. That does not mean that there's not value in the entire gamut, the entire range of religion and spirituality. David was sharing on an earlier broadcast that there was a video that he experienced of a pastor in Texas stating that all homosexuals should be lined up and shot in the head. And the person interacting with him was shocked that that wasn't something that was being judged as wrong in these teachings. The ones that are holding that belief are in that vibration and in that space. We are not going to judge the ones that are in that space and holding those beliefs. Humanity can judge it. You can all judge it all you want. You are having your experience in that. And if you discern that as not your preference, the place that we would guide you to in something such as that is to not give it any power by pushing against it. Allow those beings to have that belief system and not concern yourselves with worry that you or someone that you care about is going to be subject to that. Because the pushing against is the very thing that causes you, or if your loved one is pushing against it, to be subject to it. That is how your universe operates. But humanity, again, has created this matrix of belief that works in reverse of universal law and robs you of your personal power of creation.
Yeah, that's really what you're trying to help us to attain. We want to regain that power of creation that we never really lost, but we've somehow managed to kind of not disconnect, but not even separate, just kind of turn away from it, maybe is the best way to describe it, so that we act like we don't actually have it.
Observe it and understand when you are observing it and appreciate it when you're observing it. Mm. And that is a journey for all of you, because you've been taught the opposite. You've been taught that something mm-hmm. that is that abhorrent to you to push against and loathe and preach against and all of these things. But understand that religion and spirituality have overlap, and that very often they spin away from universal law. And what true spirituality is, if you are considering us spiritual beings, we are an amalgam of consciousness of all that is existing in the energetic realm. We are source. You are of us. We are not a numeric quantity of former human beings or other types of beings or those that you label aliens. We are all of it. Truly all of it. And you all have access to this in your own ways, whether you ever come to speak it and write it as David does or not. You have your inner access to this. And when you feel joyous, you feel good, you are connected. You are allowing your own source being to be realized by you. It is not even a connection. We have utilized David's words and utilized the word connection, but we've gone a bit further with that. And that it's not a connection, because it's not something that you have to go and reach for and draw in. It is something that's already present in all of you. And when you feel good, when you feel joyful, when you're at peace, when you're loving yourselves, you are allowing our energy to be fully realized. When you're anything less than that, you are starting to turn the dial a bit and create some static in the signal. And the more you separate yourselves from the signal of our energy, the more you are creating your contrasting human journey. But your contrasting human journey holds great value for you, because most of your creating is done from an inspiration from things that you do not like, things that you want to expand in, how you want to grow, what you've experienced that you wish to not experience again. That's where your expansion of consciousness occurs. It's why you come to physical. That's why you're mm-hmm. interacting in this way now.
This leads nicely into a question that Jeffrey in the live stream is asking. He says, can you speak to the experience of stepping into the unknown? Can you speak about good faith?
Ooh.
All of humanity runs on a certain degree of faith, whether somebody wants to be a realist and be completely black and white or not. Simply getting out of bed and drawing a breath, it takes a level of faith that you are worthy of living another day, of taking another step and just simply being. And of course, just like we were speaking of the range of vibrations between religion and spirituality, there's a range of vibrations across humanity. And so in this range of vibrations, you have a little bit of faith of worthiness of simply being, all the way over to full-blown faith of being out in the wilderness completely raw and completely without possession, and understanding that the universe will always come back around to support you, whether you are being supported in the Matrix's version of it or not. Abundance flows to you naturally. You are the ones that hold yourselves away from it in your doubt and fear and worry and all of the things that the Matrix teaches you to experience. And we want to be very clear that we're not teaching you to demonize the Matrix. Anything that you demonize and judge and push against and label should not be, that vibration of should not be creates all of your suffering. And that vibration of should not be, when you're suffering in it, creates this momentum of emotion that can build. And the more you judge something as should not be, the more you are creating in that vibration. And the more of those things of like nature are going to show up in your paths. When you learn to detect the should not be vibration and switch it off in an instant, and you can, then your lives really begin to change. Because your vibrational journey begins to shift to one of appreciation, even when you're in a lower vibrational state of being. And when you're in that state of appreciation of being down, you are suddenly lifted back up. And when you're lifted back up, you from that higher vantage point possess all the tools to solve whatever it was that took you down in the first place.
As you're talking about that, I am reminded of I'm not one to watch television programs, but there's a television series that's out, has been out for a couple of years, that I'm really enjoying called Ted Lasso. And there's one particular episode, I've recounted it in the past, so I won't go through the whole thing again. But there was one segment where there's a darts competition. And during that darts competition, the lead protagonist, Ted Lasso, does this little mini soliloquy on the importance of not judging. And he issues a quote that he claims came from something he saw on a wall someplace that was apparently a quote from Walt Whitman, although actually it turns out Walt Whitman never actually said it. But still, it's a great quote. The quote is, "Be curious, not judgmental." Mm. And the character says, "Yeah, I really like that. And I like that too. In fact, I find myself going back to that quote over and over again. Anytime I have a tendency to want to judge something, I think to myself, no, be curious. Don't be judgmental." Because if you're curious,
fear of curiosity has judgment in it. That is a judgment of you should not be curious. You should pay attention to the rule book that you've been assigned to and not be curious beyond that. We would guide you to do exactly the opposite. We would guide you to question any rule book, any belief system that doesn't allow you to think beyond that belief system.
Right.
That is a matrix. Mm-hmm. You want to know the definition as we are offering of the matrix, that is it. Any belief system that tells you that something other than that is wrong.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's so fascinating. I love that you said judgment creates the suffering. And I understand where you're going with this appreciation, this idea of appreciation. And I wholeheartedly agree. But I think a lot of our definitions have been distorted. Like the definition of appreciation, most people in their minds today would think it's I have to like said thing. And I think that's where the confusion is. So would you be able to provide maybe a definition of what your version of appreciation would be, or maybe a truer version, if that's a better verbiage?
Appreciation, as we apply it across all topics and where we guide you to with this, is elimination of judgment. And the clearest path to elimination of judgment, because you're intelligent beings, is to go into a deeper understanding of it. That space that the asker about being out in the exploration of the wilderness or outside of a belief system, allowing yourselves to go to that space where you're curious and you want to learn more, and you're allowing yourselves to think beyond the matrix. David saw a movie years and years ago, and it was about a homicide that took place, a very violent homicide where these two individuals claimed their innocence, and they brutally murdered this couple. And the entire movie, the perspective of the perpetrator was offered. And you saw the journey from "we are innocent" to coming around to accepting what they did and allowing the viewer to see from the perspective of the murderer. And because we were already flowing to David at that time, he allowed himself to watch this in appreciation of absorbing of what it's like to be in the mind of the murderer. Because your matrix tells you that those people are just evil and that's it, period. Yet the damnation of those people isn't stopping more of them from occurring.
Nope.
The deep appreciation of, meaning understanding of, what drives someone to do this? What causes someone to move? And of course, you all know from our teachings or wherever you are in your journey of learning these things, that it's about vibration, that you can shift into a vibration that is so low that is not your usual persona. And you can absolutely all behave in ways that you would not behave in if you were in a different vibrational state. That may not always manifest as harming someone to the point of murder, certainly, but you have all had instances where you've gone down your spiral and you have said things that you later regretted when you went back up. And you perhaps offered up an apology saying that you didn't mean the things that you said. But in that vibration, you did. You were that being in that vibration. You were. And you've moved out of that vibration and you are no longer that being. You can take that knowledge and apply it to every aspect of your lives and understand that you get to create any level, any frequency of vibration. You all hold the power to create with your imagination, which is your greatest creative tool. In fact, it is the greatest creative tool in the universe. It's the only creative tool in the universe. Everything else is just a fleshing out byproduct of imagination, of imaginary creation. So you have your imagination. You can create a whole new version, a whole new vibration, and you can move yourselves into that vibration more and more often and ultimately become that vibration. The only reason that you do not see this happen is because the matrix is very seductive and has tools to lure you back into it, to lure you back into believing that you're less than. Well, to speak in financial terms, which impacts all of you, trying to create a vibration of more abundance of wealth and assign yourselves to that when you all operate in this 30-day cycle of bills coming due, that's the matrix sending you something every single month saying that you don't have enough money, that there's not enough, that it's not abundant. The bills are going up and your pay is going down. You have all of these symbols built into your society that are absolutely your matrix to knock you out of that belief system and bring you back down to an old default vibration. And the way that you change these things is to stop taking the symbols and the signs of the matrix seriously. And when we say not seriously, we don't mean simply rip your bills up and throw them in the trash, because likely that's just going to result in yet another bill and perhaps a penalty. But when you receive the bill, you can train yourselves to meet and enjoy, understanding that it's a sign of a vacuum that has been created that can be filled. You can do these things that will shift you in your belief system so that when you receive that bill or that reminder, and this is just an example, this works on all topics, that it doesn't impact you the way that you've chosen to allow it to impact you in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. And I see Jody taking notes. Whenever I see her taking notes, I know this is good stuff. So this is good stuff. Got two more questions from the live stream. This first one from David. He says, how can we increase our feelings of self-worthiness and self-love?
The things that we guide you to do to raise your vibration systematically, meaning meditation. And meditation is a personal journey. Meditation is not about sitting in a posture and completely quieting your mind for an amount of time or chanting. It can be all of those things, but it does not have to be any of those things. Your path to meditation, to spending some time in appreciation of self and all that is every single day, because that starts to rewrite your subconscious mind and starts to rewrite your opinion of you naturally. It's not about all of these tricks and exercises. We offer these things as well. We just offered you one. Those are just window dressing for all of this. Really, it's about raising your vibration habitually. And some people label this as prayer. Some people label it as meditation. It can be appreciation exercises. But doing things that raise your vibration little by little, day after day after day, and making it a habit, being habitual about it. The other thing is clearing the things that drag you down. What triggers you? What brings your vibration down? What's created the belief system that you have? You all have an operating system. Your operating system is your belief system, and you have a subconscious train of thought that runs that belief system. You default to it all the time. That's what's creating your reality. So if you're wanting to shift your reality, you've got to start overriding that stuff. And when things pop up that trigger you, when things pop up that you would label a limiting belief, we guide you to go into exploration of it and detune it through the process of appreciation. If you grew up in poverty, you do not have that weight hung around your neck of always being in poverty for your entire lifetime just because that was part of your belief system in early childhood. You see examples of people that live in poverty through their entire lives because they're born into that vibration of lack. And you see others that are inspired to move well out of it and everything in between. Your reaction to your experiences is completely up to you. And the good news is it doesn't matter how far away from that childhood experience you are. You can always go back and change that experience. You can always go back and change how you responded to that experience, thus changing your belief system. We use the example very often of two siblings that grow up in the same household, same parents, same religion, same economics, same education, yet they turn out very differently with very different beliefs and very different recollections of what was essentially the same childhood. That's because they absorbed it as an individual, your individual strands of consciousness. Even if you're twins, you are still individual strands of consciousness. So you can go back and find appreciation for things that perhaps you have been not appreciating for your whole life. And in your finding deeper understanding of them, detune them and thus detune all of the branches of belief system they've created for you.
I know I'm appreciating this.
I can tell those you are that. The things that drag your vibration down. And when you're dragging, when your vibration is being dragged down, you are separating yourselves from that self-love that is the top of your spiral. So it's eliminating the things that hold you out of it and then learning to work your way up to it, appreciating externally to raise your vibration and then turning inward. Notice that the middle of your spiral, and we have not shared this before, this is new. The middle of your spiral tends to be more outwardly focused. The very top of your spiral is inwardly focused with pure love. The very bottom of your spiral is inwardly focused with exactly the opposite of that, pure disdain. The bottom of your spiral is where self-harming and suicides and things like that are harming others in the name of quenching your own pain. And the very top of your spiral is where your very best creation happens. You are one with Source. You are so one with Source that all of the things that you think you need from your human experience just fall away. And in your systematic releasing of need, you're actually opening up the pathways for any and all of those things to flow right in. That is the magic of vibration. When you're in that mid-space vibration of needing things to be joyous, you tend to chase them away because the universe always answers need with yes, more need. You're in the vibration of need, so you're going to need more. So when you're doing mantras and you're repeating things and you're looking at a pile of money on your wall every day, trying to manifest it, you are the one who's chasing it away because you're in the vibration of need. Notice the ones at the top of the pyramid on any topic, and we have used finance, so we will use that again in this vibration. The ones at the top, they can go broke and find themselves right back at the top again naturally over and over again because that is their vibration. They are confident that even if the matrix is battling them a bit and taking it away from them, the matrix is going to turn around and give it right back to them because that's their vibrational equivalent. And you all have the power to do that on any and every topic.
David. Comment, oh, interesting, new material, awesome. And it's true, we love it whenever we get new material, which often happens when we have you as a guest here on the program. So thank you for that. That is the cool way to look at the spiral concept, the idea. Everything in the middle is that interaction outside and everything top and bottom, whether it's the really happy, positive end or the end where we're miserable, are inward facing. That's really, yeah, that's good stuff. Question from Jeffrey. Oh, first of all, I wanted to acknowledge Carrie Jean. Carrie is David's right hand within the Taya community, and she mentioned that she liked the be curious, not judgmental comment. And I saw your comment, Carrie, and I just wanted to say hello because Carrie was a former guest here on the program, and she's an essential person within the Taya community. So thanks for listening in. This is a question again from Jeffrey. He says, can you use imagination to heal?
Absolutely. In fact, all healing would be of imagination. Imagination is your creative tool. And if you imagine yourselves healthy, you are going to return to health. If you imagine yourselves healing, you're going to have the healing experience. In fact, no one external can truly heal you, but you can give your belief to them. You can turn your power over to them and allow others to heal you. And we are not judging that. We are not judging those that call themselves healers, because an effective healer is someone who gets someone to believe in their ability to heal and thus heal themselves through their imagination. That is one and the same.
That's a great point too, because we often think it's going to be the healer who's going to heal us, but it's not the healer who's doing the healing. We're doing the healing.
The healer is guiding you to self-healing. Any healer that is claiming to have the power to heal without participant from the one being healed is again operating in their ego, not in a true benevolent sense of truly desiring to heal.
And probably operating with like two hands tied behind their back. They're basically holding mm-hmm. themselves back because they don't actually believe in the ability of the patient to heal himself.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. One can in the matrix, one can be so charismatic, however, that even in their believing that they are the ones doing the healing, if the one being healed assigns themselves to that belief system and gives them power, and think of how the matrix, we have described the matrix as being seductive. And not to keep it in those terms, but just think of how you have certain teachers that have a certain image. And because they have this certain image, they're given great reverence. And in giving that great reverence, they do have the power to transpond or transport that energy of those other beings to a higher vibrational place that facilitates healing.
That's one of the most fascinating concepts for me, is the power and ability that we all have to heal ourselves. And there's something I'm kind of curious to know what your take is on this, because I now firmly believe all illness begins in my mind. All healing begins in my mind. But how is it that I keep getting to the point where I feel like I need to keep healing myself? I would think at some point I would be able to get myself to the place where I just feel healthy all the time and not feel a need to heal.
Well, you're all on these vibrational journeys. So think of your paths, as long as you're in physical, as being a path through a mountain range. We have stated this before, where you are twisting and turning and climbing hills and going down and up and all of these things. That's what your vibrational journey is. And your version of the low vibrational stuff is rooted in your belief system. So if you find yourself returning to needing to heal again and again and again, very often your judgment of that recurring situation is exactly what's creating it. When you start meeting the need to be healed in joy and appreciation, that's when it finally starts to fall away. Yeah, and understand that not one of you came here for perfection. You did not come for a perfect journey. And we understand very well that you see other beings presenting themselves perhaps as having the perfect journey. There is that person on Instagram or some sort of social media that will portray themselves in the biggest house and the most cars and the most beautiful partner and the best vacations and always abundance. But you're getting a limited spectrum of them, because if they are not experiencing some downturns, they are not expanding their consciousness. And if they're not expanding their consciousness, they're not remaining in physical.
Yeah, that's a theme that's appeared many times here on the show in terms of guests that I've interviewed over and over and over again. The ones who have experienced the greatest successes, the greatest breakthroughs and so forth, are the ones who went through the worst pain, the most failures, the most discouragement. And they ended up persevering through and just getting there anyway. So yeah, I don't think I've had anybody on
the only reason that you judge those things as negative, unwanted, that you fear them and you don't want to experience them, is because the Matrix has taught you that.
Mm.
And that can be changed. Any aspect of the Matrix can be unlearned.
That's a great point. Jeffrey has another question. He wants to know more about co-creation, specifically better ways of participating in co-creation.
Well, you are all of collective consciousness, so you're co-creating all the time. We will add to that, however, that we have referred to certain strands of consciousness that you are more closely bound to as your vibrational neighbors. And you have more co-creative experiences in physical with your vibrational neighbors. And these vibrational neighbors can be friends. They can be those that you consider enemies. They can be your employers. They can be your landlord. They can be lovers. They can be anything. In any being that you come in contact with and have interaction with is a sort of vibrational neighbor. And your vibrational neighbors weave in and out. And where we guide you with all of this is to understand that this concept of two strands of consciousness coming together and vibrating the same indefinitely through a lifetime is an egocentric human creation. Because none of that. That's why there is so much failure in relationships, because that expectation that you're always on the same page. We always guide you back to appreciation. So appreciation of the vibrational journey of the other, understanding that there will be a time that you are absolutely vibing and co-creating with certain individuals. And you can vibe and co-create with individuals well beyond physical, what you would call physical human beings. You absolutely know that you co-create with your animals. If you appreciate your pet, there's a co-creative energy that raises your vibration or can lower it in the relationship with the pet. Well, you can have a vibrational journey with any vibration, any being, and you can even create beings using your imagination and have a vibrational journey with them. Because as soon as you are using your vibration to create something new in consciousness, all creation is consciousness creation first and foremost. The physical fleshing out of it, if you will, is just the byproduct of that. So if there is a relationship that you are seeking to have, if there is a being that you are seeking to gain from, interact with, learn from, you can use your imagination to create that relationship. When David was writing his first book, he was very fond of the writings of Wayne Dyer and tapped into the energy of Wayne Dyer. We are not speaking of the source that he's tapping into when he is sharing us. He is specifically focusing on the human version that was known as Wayne Dyer after his lifetime. You all possess the ability to create that with your imagination. But see, what the matrix does is tells you that it's all in your imagination. It's all in your mind. You're just imagining it. It isn't real. Nothing is real, and everything is real because nothing is real. Everything is flushing out, if you so allow, of your imaginary creation, all of it.
My response is, really?
Look at everything around you, beyond the what you would call nature, all of your human creation around you. Every bit of it was imagination first, all of it, mm-hmm. all of it. And mm-hmm. most of it was created in imagination as an answer to what was perceived as a lack or a problem.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which so is where true. We begin, that's where we really begin the journey of appreciation, is recognizing things like that. That's what, speaking for myself anyway, that's what I found is my best way to get to a place of appreciating stuff that I normally would not have liked, is recognizing that that's where so much great stuff came out of, that mm-hmm. stuff that I didn't like. Yeah. Do you have any other questions, Jody, before we let the stream say goodbye, or anybody from the live stream?
I'm just loving this conversation. It's very beautiful.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's always in depth like this, and it's always a little bit different. I mean, the overall theme is kind of consistent, because like the stream said, it's all the universal laws are universal laws, but it's always different take on it each time. And I think a lot of that has to do with the co-creation that we were just talking about, because every time that we all interact, we're co-creating, and we become a part of the stream's message just by being here, listening and contributing and talking.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's like one of the best parts about doing this. So
for sure.
I'm not seeing other questions, so I'm going to say thank you to the stream for joining us. Once again, we loved all of your wonderful stuff, and we're going to ask David to come back. And Jody, I'm going to ask you, I mean, I know you were loving this. What's your first takeaway from all this?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I'm a channeler myself. My best friend is a trans channeler, so I'm very familiar with all of this stuff. But I mean, outside of, you know, the few people that I know personally, and, you know, Abraham Hicks, I've never had, you know, been sitting here witness to someone else outside of those people. So it was really cool to feel into it and to listen to everything that the stream had to say. And just, it was very beautiful. Thank you for that.
It is beautiful. And David, are you aware yet? Are you back?
What was that?
I said, are you back? Are you aware yet?
I am becoming aware. I was really
curious. You're becoming aware. Okay. Yeah. It takes a while. I know.
Mm.
Yeah.
David, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
You're able to now. You're good. So do you remember after you're done, you know, I don't know if you call it channeling or what you actually call it, because I never asked that question. So that could be question one. What do you call it? But two would be, do you move your consciousness to the side? Do you remember any of it, or are you kind of completely absent and then need to be filled in?
I do refer to myself as a channel. I just don't know how better to communicate what I do.
Yeah.
I definitely move my conscious. I love how you say it, to the side, because I have some awareness while it's happening, but I step completely out of it and allow source to flow. And afterward, I don't remember much. Like coming out of it, I usually don't remember any of it. And then it kind of starts to come back a little bit. And then sometimes days later, something popped in. We did the summit on Saturday, and something significant, I can't recall what it is right this minute, but something significant from the summit popped in days later. Like today I was saying, oh, I just remember this from the summit. So it kind of starts to fill back in a little bit, but very often I'm not that aware of it while Amazing. It's happening. But then there are times that on today's, I do a podcast, and I just recorded one. I recorded one with Katarina, by the way. She wants to come back on with you all. And I was speaking, and what happens now a lot is that it just kind of starts becoming stream while I'm speaking. If I'm really in a high vibrational space, I'm really into it, I just kind of start channeling, and I do kind of disconnect when that happens.
Yeah.
It's like a hybrid.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens to me a lot. I had to tell the guides that I channel, like, Hey, I want to stay here for this conversation. So let me like, just, yeah, you can go through me, but just let me stay here. When you were learning to do all of this, I would love to hear about your journey. Like if we have a couple of minutes to talk about this, well, I didn't mean to take over. I just have questions.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. I came to realize, I was very curious. I came to understand that I was a little different in my teens and early 20s. I kept it very hidden. I didn't want to be a weirdo. So I kept it very, very hidden. I didn't want to be one of those. I really fit myself in the mainstream. And I did that. And then my 30s were tumultuous for me because I kind of had this inner battle going on and I was going to see psychics. I finally found a psychic that said, well, you're a channel and this is what's going on with you. You're not like everyone else. And that I kind of avoided that for a little while, like 7 years. And then I really came around to just allowing it. And then once I did, it was very profound. It really changed my life. And I realized that it had been offered to me my whole life, but I really fixated because of my belief system on the financial abundance part of it. I say very often, I tell the story of when I was 14 in 1982, I remember explaining what we now call the law of attraction to my older brother and totally understanding it, not knowing it had a name. And I actually thought it was my invention. I thought I invented it. I used it because I think we're manifesting everything all the time, but my focus was manifesting money and material things through my teens, early 20s, 30s, all the way to my 40s, to the point where I manifested everything that I thought was, you know, this is what a rich person is and a rich person is what a happy person is. And then I realized I'm not happy. I'm not really happy. This isn't enough, you know? And that's when I really started going inward, meditating at a Kundalini awakening in 2010. And then from there started writing and teaching myself to channel. And it took 2010 to 2017, another 7 year period, to sort of fully come out of the closet as a channel. In 2017, I started the Stream of David podcast, and that's where I channeled publicly for the first time.
Wow.
Teach myself to speak it. I didn't have the Esther experience where it was supernatural and magical, and it was coming to me and I could write it, but I was trying to force myself to speak it. And then when I kind of let go and let it happen, that's when the speaking started. And it's evolved significantly over the years, since 2017 to now. If you listen to the podcast, some people listen to the whole thing and it changes a lot in the course of years.
I can totally relate to that. When I first trans-channeled, it was very like almost robotic. Like very like poignant, and it doesn't sound like me. And as I practice, I get better, but I still have not mastered that. So
we haven't actually explored your trans channeling at all, Jody.
No,
you know, except for the very first episode, we kind of touched on it a little bit.
I'm always tapped in. I've always got my guides, you know, in the room, and I'm always referencing information from them. So most of what I say is just truly coming from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is I'm impressed by it, but I'm also curious to know, you asked what his experience is. What's your experience, especially when you are bringing the channeled information to others? How does that feel to you? How do you experience it?
Yeah, for me, I didn't realize that I was doing that either, kind of like you said, David, and kind of ignored it. You know, in my financial brokerage business, the way that it would show up is when somebody was talking, I could feel and see their pain. Like it was like a movie screen kind of behind them, but inside of their words would light up, and then questions would come to me of like, ask them this, ask them that. And then it would bring a bunch of information to the surface. It's kind of like I felt like I had this knowing of them on another level of their life that they hadn't actually told me anything about. But I didn't know what that was. And when I started to lean into, you know, the energy behind money and teaching myself, you know, the law of attraction and some of the tangible stuff that I teach now, I started to channel abundance codes, but I didn't know that's what I was doing. I would just, again, get questions or philosophies, things would drop in that would blow my mind when I wasn't trying so hard, like you were saying, David, when I would just let it come through. And, And so that would happen. And then I met another channeler and she said kind of the same thing. You're a channeler and that's what you're doing. So she actually taught me. I paid her to teach me how to sharpen the instrument that I've been given. And then now I have a whole process and I'm learning to trans channel. I feel uncomfortable. So I usually just consciously channel. And when I do it for my clients or my students, it kind of feels like you have access to this whole other realm of information. And as they speak, I get more information and they say these profound things that make me sound really, really smart, but it's really just them.
Do you find that?
Yeah, I had somebody edit, we're writing another book and I've been writing it for 4 years and somebody, we hired someone completely outside our world to read it and review it so that we know that we're not speaking too much mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
And she's like, why can't David write like the stream? The stream's writing is so all right, you know, you got all the great writers of the world over there, and then you got little David right over here. That's just the way it is. I thought it was funny. And there's somebody that's not into channeling at all, I'm sure probably doesn't even believe it, but then in the end was saying, can you get David to write more like the stream because the writing is so good?
You know, speaking of that, one of the things that really built my belief system in being a channel and, you know, working with the channels that I work with, building that faith and that trust in what they were saying is the stuff that would come out of my mouth or the stuff that would come out of their mouths, like it felt so true. Like it had this purity around it. It was just a completely different vibration. And then when you get access to personal information, like things that you shouldn't know about an individual or how they feel or whatever is going on in their life, just stuff would come like, hey, you know, at this, you know, earlier on in your life, you had somebody leave you. There was a conversation that I was having. I was doing a session for a group and they didn't know that I could channel or pick up this information or whatever. It was just more of the tangible financial stuff. And this guy was struggling with money. And I looked at him and I said, oh, somebody hurt you really bad and took advantage of you. And, you know, earlier on in your life and you feel like you can't trust now. Something like that happened to you? And he's like, how do you know? So it was just things like that I did, information I didn't have access to before I started channeling, I guess.
It's very helpful. And I do think everybody has their own version of being able to tap into that when you're really up there, you know, when you're really in high vibration. I think we all just work. We are just naturally connected and can tune into people on a higher level. And everybody should be the spiral thing is so profound to understand where that high vibrational space is, where we're all at our best, no matter what we're doing. I love that.
Jody, do you have the experience that David has that so much stuff comes in that's packed and he has to go back and replay it just because he can't remember all of it, first of all, and has to you know, replay it just to kind of get it all? Do you have to do the same thing?
Yeah. And even grasping it, like my human self, you know, that's why I didn't say a whole lot when you were in the stream, David. I know you probably don't remember, but I didn't say a whole lot. I was taking a lot of notes because I was feeling into the information and understanding from this human perspective that I have now. And I find that, you know, there's stuff that will come out of my mouth and then I'll have to go over it again with like a human eye to be like, how does that, what is that? What am I even, what did I say? Like, how does that apply to this dimension that we live in here? And then eventually it'll just land. Oh, I get it. And that's exactly what happened while you were speaking, David. There was some stuff that I was like, just my humanness, you know, that belief system that you were talking about, the matrix and that belief system, I could see it showing up and like, oh, there it is. Okay. I can let that go. So I can now let this new information.
They seem to have a way to want to take you out to that leading edge and really, somebody was saying this morning, one of my team members says a lot of podcasts have trigger warnings at the beginning. And she said, you should have a warning at the beginning of yours saying we are going to trigger you. And that's a good thing. And this is why. Not warning, you might get triggered. You will be triggered, and that's good. Here's what it's going to do for you if you allow yourself to go move through it.
Is it a warning at that point, or is it a promise?
Yeah, both.
Yeah. You will be triggered. Get ready.
Yes.
Oh, this is great stuff. Actually, there was one other question, and I think I'm going to ask it anyway just because it's a good question, and it'll put us over, but that's okay. Comes from Jeffrey. He says, will the ego always shift out of the way in order to receive what our heart desires? I wanted to hear both of you guys answer that one.
David, you want me to go ahead?
I would say we have the ability if we allow it to. Yeah. You know, I think the ego sort of is a temporary thing that we acquire for our human journey, but we have this much broader source consciousness that we might call our soul, our eternal selves, is so much more than that, that we operate in this matrix that kind of tells you ego is everything, but we can quiet it and calm it and sort of tame it, if you will, and not have it overshadow. But understand that, again, through appreciation, it's got its purpose, but it doesn't have to always rule. We can definitely detune it to where it will drive us through life and lead us back to our worthiness and guide us to our human experiences. But ultimately, we can always return to trust and return to source and let that be the thing that really guides us.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, agree. Jenny? Yeah, I agree. And the first word that popped into my mind was going back to what the stream was saying of that appreciation. And for me, I kind of liken it to acceptance, like loving yourself on this whole nother level and loving, if it's the ego we're speaking of, loving that part of you that is the ego and accepting that fully and having that appreciation for where it may be limited or whatever, that lack of judgment there. That was the first thing that popped in.
Yeah, we talked a lot about
every once in a while you'll hear people in spirituality say, oh, well, I don't have an ego anymore. I've released my ego. And the stream kind of laughs at us. You know, that's so egotistical to say that.
It is. I wouldn't even want to let go of the ego.
Of course we do. We're physical. It's part of being physical.
That's part of being a human being. We wouldn't be human beings without being egos.
Right. Ego serves a purpose, but it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just understanding it, appreciating it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And not beating it up. Boy, we're awful good at beating up our egos.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing often. We'll go out of our way to beat up the ego as a way to, you know, have not to deal with this thing that we really don't want to deal with. So we'll beat up the ego first because that's easy, right? We can do that. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, we're so good at this stuff. But this has been great. I've been loving this. Jody, I think you've been loving it too.
Yeah, and it was beautiful.
David, I know you have. It's been really, really
good. I always love coming on, and the questions were fantastic. So thanks everybody for asking all these great questions.
And information. You're scheduled to come back again, I think, in July or August. So we'll be looking forward to that as well. So,
woohoo.
Yeah. So thank you guys very much. And thank you to all of our live streamers for all your great questions. Thank you to our podcast listeners everywhere. We'll see you all next time here on Elway Today. Goodbye, everybody.